Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Kelso.
And I'm Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. So Hillary is sick today. It's just a cold, but she's too sick to record. So we are joined by Elizabeth, our events coordinator. And we are also recording remotely today because, as you listeners probably know, we're in the midst of this coronavirus thing. So we are doing some social distancing version of the podcast today. So how are you guys doing?
I'm tired, exhausted. Yeah. We got to do distance learning with my 13-year-old who'd rather just stay home and play video games all day. So that's going to be fun for me tomorrow.
Fun, fun. What about you, Elizabeth? How are you doing?
I am a raging ball of anxiety, but also not, because as a highly anxious person, apparently there is a psychological phenomenon where when you practice the end of the world in your head, when it actually happens, you're actually not stressed about it.
Yeah, fair.
Yes.
Super fascinating. And I know how to make soap from scratch. So honestly, I'm doing okay.
Awesome.
I'm getting a lot of home repair projects done that I told myself, I'll do that any day now. Well, I didn't, and now I am. So here we are.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay, so before we jump into our normal episode, I just want to talk super, super briefly about what's going on right now. And I do mean super briefly because we do have plans to upload some bonus episodes specifically chatting about the coronavirus, its effects on small businesses, and some of our recommendations for reading during a quarantine. And we're going to be joined by some other booksellers from other stores, some other guest hosts. But for right now, we're just going to do a quick update. So as of recording this, we are encouraging our customers to place orders online or over the phone. We can do free curbside pickup, and we're also offering shipping for 99 cents on orders over $10. And of course, all of this is subject to change at a moment's notice. So we do hope you'll follow us on all of our social media to keep up with the changes. And when in doubt, just call the store because there's booksellers there. We're here to help. If there's anything that is a non-book item that you want to order, but you can't get it from our website because it's not a book item, call the store. Our booksellers can help you out. Yeah. Okay. So that's where we are right now. Stay home if you can. but do please continue to support local businesses as much as you possibly can. All right. Let's just jump right into it and talk about books we've been reading, what we've finished recently, what we're excited to read, what we're finally pulling out of our to-be-read stacks during the quarantine. Who wants to go first?
Shelves? The shelves of
the
books?
The to-be-read shelves.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm listening to an audiobook called A Witch in Time, which is a cute play on A Stitch in Time. And it is by Courtney Sayers. And the premise of the book is that in 19th century France, a peasant girl, her mother is a witch, and the daughter has an affair that ends poorly, and the mother angrily and accidentally, she's not a very talented witch, she accidentally curses the daughter and the lover to repeat the same doomed love affair for eternity.
Oof.
So for every time she is reborn, like basically every 30 years, she lives the same doomed love affair over and over and over again, and always dying by age 34.
Wow.
And the demon who is administrating the curse is in love with her.
Aww.
And she never remembers him, but he's been in love with her for over 100 years. And he's like, I've seen you do this over and over and over again. And she's like, you're crazy. I don't know who you are. So that's interesting. That one has been fun. And I'm also have finally picked up the new Marie Kondo book called Work, Organizing Your Professional Life. I took before pictures of my desk because Marie Kondo, I need your help. I'm mean, you two have seen my desk. Sometimes I joke that Michael should have given me a filing cabinet instead of a desk, mm-hmm. or a storage cupboard instead of a desk, because I need things. I have a lot of files, but those are digital. And she actually does address digital organization, which is, she's like, most of your desk is very small. It's not like you're doing a whole house, which she says, she points out that a house should take about 3 weeks at minimum. But she says that organizing your desk should take 8 hours cumulatively. And she's like, you can break that out into chunks. Like, you probably won't be doing it in one day. But she's like, but you have files too. There's a lot of digital stuff. And I need help. Well, you guys have seen my desk. Maybe we should post a picture with the podcast. you will see the results too. So I'll check back in a future podcast. And I'm interested to see what she says. Some of the stuff has resonated with me already. Some of the stuff is not as applicable for me, because she's like, you should have fewer than 10 projects really going at once. And if not, you should refer to the later chapter on reorganizing your time. And that's not as applicable to me, because I work basically 3 to 6 months in advance planning events. So that's about 20 events. I mean, I can't.
Yeah.
But yeah. My job is different. My job is different. And some of the things she said have really resonated with me already. So I am ready to KonMari my desk. Michael, look out. I'm taking over the office next. that's what I got going on. What about you guys?
That's awesome. Kelso, what are you reading right now?
I have been reading this book since I got this advanced reader copy. It's called Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. It is out in October. This is my third read through. It's so good. It's so good.
You can't see the cover.
The cover, you can find actually on V.E. Schwab's Instagram page. This is before they sent out the cover. It's hashtag I remember Eddie. It's literally like a blank.
Yeah, it's like a bound manuscript.
They sent it to my house, which was super cool. I didn't, I was like, how did the publisher have my house address? So that was really neat. Anyways, so I am a Schwabist. I am a Schwabnite. I am a Schwab fan. Of course, I'm going to love this book. It is not out until October, and I don't want to give much away, because it's one of these books where if you go into it knowing a little bit but not too much, it's going to be fabulous. It's a thick boy. It's like 600-something pages. So the basis of the story is in France in 1714, Addie LaRue is going to go into an arranged marriage. She really doesn't want to do that. So she makes a pact with basically what is considered to be the devil. So she kind of makes this pact with the devil to stay alive until she is done with her eternity. And then she becomes engaged or married to the devil towards the end of her life. And the curse is that whenever anybody, like a new day dawns, or whenever she meets somebody and they walk away from her, like they close their eyes, she doesn't get remembered by anybody. So she's unable to speak her own name. Nobody will ever remember her. She can't, like, every time she has objects that she wants to keep, they magically just go away or disappear. She can't draw. She can't write. She can't create anything. She feels hunger, but she doesn't die from starvation. She feels cold, but she doesn't freeze to death. So she lives this like really tortured life, and then it jumps back into time between 1714 throughout her career until now in 2013, and she meets a boy, and the boy remembers her name from the next day.
Ooh.
So but I'll leave it there, because it is so well written, and V.E. Schwab has talked about this book where she's been writing this book for years. This has been like her magnum opus of a book. And she's super excited to kind of bring this out into the world. And I'm going to let you all know right now, it's written so beautifully. And you could tell that V.E. really put her heart and soul into this book. If you really liked Night Circus, it's got some like thick, dreamlike sequency kind of plot and structure similar to it. It's just fabulous. I love it so much. Mm-hmm. And the ending is just, oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, no, I concur. I literally just, I mean, I don't even think I've finished the first chapter and I'm like obsessed.
It's, oh, yeah.
It pulls you in so instantaneously. It's so well written.
Well, I'm jealous now.
Yeah, I just got mine on, I think, Thursday or something, and I literally screamed and ran across the store. I was like, oh my God, it came!
I can see you doing that, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I'm also reading The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers. It's very good. It's a space opera. It's the series won many Hugo Awards. It's a lot of fun. It's this heartfelt story about kind of like if you've ever seen, what's the one with Serenity?
Oh, Firefly.
Yes. It's very much like a Firefly kind of thing. They're on this ship called the Wayfarer. And it's like these bunch of kind of like ragtag, almost sky piratey people. And it's a lot of fun. It's really heartwarming. And they have to like go on this quest. And they have in different books, they go on different quests. And
so they're space cowboys.
Fun.
Are they space cowboys?
They're not space cowboys necessarily, but they do like break the rules a lot. They're supposed to be like bringing content into another galaxy, but like they break the rules because they figured out that like their the stuff that they're carrying is actually like illegal or something like that.
Oh no.
That's awesome.
It's fun. It's a good escapist literature, especially now because I can't read any true crime right now. I'm too backed up on anxiety.
Yeah.
Super good. Those are what I'm reading right now.
That's awesome.
What are you reading?
I have been picking away at this book that I picked up entirely because of the cover. It's called Zed. It is by Joanna Cavenna. And the cover, it's this beautiful purple cover with a neon beetle. And half of the beetle is made up of a city skyline. And this book is so up my alley because it's about technology and what can go terribly, terribly wrong. So in this world, it's a little bit like The Circle meets Minority Report. So this technology is, it's called the Beetle, like the Beetle Network. So think of like a Google or, you know, something that's this like overarching umbrella company and everything within it is all owned by the same company. Every social media network, every like your smartwatch is also connected to your fridge, is also connected to every camera in every building and on the streets and everything. You are constantly being monitored. And it, everything accumulates to monitor you 24/7, and it creates this life chain. So it predicts your life. It predicts like, all of these different actions that you will take all the way up until your death. And if you choose, you know, an unhealthy meal one day, that affects your life change. It's like domino effect. It like, okay, so now you're going to die a year earlier than you were going to, right? Not that it's saying you absolutely will, but like that's how it's predicting it. And the part where Minority Report comes in is that if it predicts that you will commit a crime, you are arrested for that crime. Like now.
No, thank you.
So you're basically arrested for future crime, just like a Minority Report. And, but what happens is there's a couple of weird instances where people do things that were never predicted by their life chain. And that freaks people out, particularly the people who created this algorithm, because they're like, that should have been predicted, and like they should have been arrested before they did this, you know, murder or whatever. Like, that should never have happened. And it, they call this anomaly Zed. And basically the premise is someone might be doing this on purpose. Like, these anomalies may have been inserted into the algorithm on purpose. So I am not very far into it, but I am totally jacked up on this book. Like, I am, for lack of a better word, I am plugged into this book. It's really good. It's really well written. It's a cool concept, and it's one of those things where, like, you read it and you're like, yeah, this could happen. Like, this, I could see us getting to this point where every single camera is connected, and every single, you know, appliance that you have. I mean, think of like the houses that have an Alexa, right? And it controls like 19 different devices in their home. Like, yeah, we're there. We're getting there.
I think I've seen this Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, right? It is very, very reminiscent of a Doctor Who episode. It is very like...
For a lot of people there, so...
Yeah. So, it's really, really good. I'm really enjoying that one. And then, oh gosh, I just finished a bunch of books. I just read a book called The Disasters by M.K. England, which is a YA book, and it's so much fun. It's these, like, teenagers are on this space station. They're there to try to get jobs as, you know, pilots or doctors or whatever in this space station. And there's, I think, four of them. They get kicked out for various reasons. And so they're all waiting to get on this shuttle to go home. And they're all like horribly upset by being kicked out. This was like their dream for all of them. And while they're waiting to get on this shuttle, as the shuttle is approaching, they realize that there are terrorists on that shuttle. And they like fight their way out and like steal the shuttle and escape as the terrorists blow up the entire space station with all of their friends and teachers and everything. Like, it's gone. And so now these kids are on the run because some of the terrorists, like, knew, because they knew what was happening, they were able to have their spacesuits on. And like, some of the people on the space station knew what was happening ahead of time. They were like part of it. So some people survived, and they're out to get these kids now. And so it is a total space adventure where these kids are like planet hopping, and there's like a heist, and it is so much fun. It is such a romp. And I just loved it. And again, that was one that I totally picked up because of the cover. It has like a cool space helmet on it. And I was like, this looks great. What is this? So I really, really loved that one. And I just finished Imaginary Friend by Stephen Chbosky, which was very creepy and very long, much longer than I thought it was. I listened to the audiobook of it, and it was like 27 hours long or something. It was so long. But that's a very creepy book about a kid who has an imaginary friend who may or may not be imaginary. And I don't want to give too much away. Creepy things start to happen. People go missing. Bad things happen. And bad things continue to happen all the way through the book. And there's a couple of epic showdowns towards the end. There's like two or three that I thought were the final showdown, and they were not. it's very good. It's very dark. And it's, you know, it's about children. It's about bad things happening to children. So like, keep that in mind when considering reading this book. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. It is, pretty hilariously different from Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is his other book. although that is also kind of about bad things happening to children. So I guess there's a theme there. But yeah, this is, it's an interesting book, and it has some very, very unsettling imagery, which I look for in a horror novel. I really look for like the really good, creepy imagery. And this has some moments where I actually got like chills down my spine. I was like, oh, that's good. Oh God. Ah. yeah, so I liked it. I liked it all. It was good. And then I just picked up, I haven't started it yet, but I'm going to be reading it, hopefully in the next day or so. Sword in the Stars, which is the Once and Future sequel by Amy Rose Capetta and Corey McCarthy. And I'm very excited to start that because, ooh, I love the first one so much. Elizabeth, they're still coming. We're doing a virtual event with them. Do we know?
We're trying to figure this out because this is all new territory for us. What with social distancing, obviously. My job was the first to pull back here because we pulled back events, I think, about a week before other places started pulling out events. And we're just like, we cannot ethically be having large crowds of people during a disease crisis. And so we're trying to figure this out because these authors really want to meet their fans, but we can't have this in person. So we're trying to figure out how to do this event virtually, usually through video conferencing. We're actually looking at using the same program that we're using right now to video conference the author and the fans in together. So it's still on right now, April 9th, 6 p.m. We just need to figure out the tech aspect of this. It won't be in person. They are actually fairly local to us, so we will be getting, we are currently planning on getting books still signed, but unfortunately we can't do face-to-face events, which is really crushing because I was looking forward to this because this is gay, gender-bent King Arthur in space now with 100% more time travel, and we were so excited for this, and so we're going to figure this out, though. We're going to figure out an event somehow. So it's just new territory for all of us.
Awesome. All right. So our listeners can stay tuned. We'll be posting about that as we figure it all out. But yeah, so very excited for that one. Okay. So our listeners usually find out about new books either from us, from booksellers, from book podcasts, from word of mouth, from friends, social media, stuff like that. I wanted to give a little peek behind the curtain today and talk about how we in the book business find out about the books, because we find out about them way earlier than everyone else. and while we do share a lot of the same resources, because I also, you know, think that we use social media and word of mouth and listen to podcasts and things like that, you know, we also have those resources. Yeah. But we have some pretty cool like book industry resources that are kind of exclusive. You know, we have things like publisher reps. We have Edelweiss, which is a program that booksellers use. We get to go to special conferences. We have events that we obviously are the ones planning, so we hear about them earlier. Things like that. So I just kind of wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit. So like, where do you guys find out about new books before they come out?
So I find out about the books that there's a lot of word of mouth, of course, but the books that have really blown me away early, I usually find when I'm sorting through an event grid, because events begin to be planned about 6 to 8 months ahead of the event. That's when the publisher sends out a grid and or a list, and they say, hey, these are the authors that will be touring 8 months from now. Mm-hmm. I actually was just working on a grid for October the other day, and it is March. It is March right now, and I'm working on an October grid. And by grid, I mean list. But they basically say, hey, these are the books coming out, and these are the authors that are going on tour. Convince us mm-hmm. why you think this would be a good tour stop for you. So sometimes I'll see a book, and I'll be going through, and I'm going through looking for books that I think will resonate with the local audiences, and that's why I'm going through. But sometimes I will see a book that just stops me cold, and I write that down on my little list. Sometimes these books are, this list is so early that I went to go add something to my Goodreads account, and it is not, it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
So that's how early these grids are coming out. This is how I found out about This Is How You Lose the Time War, which I saw that, and I immediately emailed the rep begging for a copy, and I did get one, and I have been aggressively, inappropriately aggressively hand-selling this book. It's new out in paperback, by the way, just this week, as of the time of writing, and I will push this to everybody if I can just mention casually that it is about time agents from two rival time agencies leaving mocking notes at the scene of their crimes for the other to find, and then they fall in love through mocking letters. And it is arguably one of the most romantic books I have read, which sounds very strange, but it's basically, the setting is different, but it's basically any war novel where two spies on opposite sides fall in love through letters and espionage. And the love letters that they write to each other made me actually cry. But I digress. So we can gush about that.
It's a very good book.
And it's very short. It's only about 200 pages. It's not this, it doesn't stretch out. I was just going through the event grids the other day. And I look for our customers, but I saw a book about the neuroscience of knitting. And you guys are watching me as we're video conferencing this. You guys are watching me knit a mitten up at this moment. But it was about basically how handicraft affects brain chemistry and brain patterns, and basically how it is a self-therapy. And I had to write this down, so I actually don't have it in front of me because I can't pull it up on any screen because it doesn't exist yet. It comes out in October and November. And I saw that book and I said, you know, I actually am going to throw in a pitch for this because we live in Yankee Town, and there are a lot of people around here who do a lot of handicraft and who do a lot of very old fashioned, they live on farms. You know, they have very traditional craft hobbies and lifestyles. So this might actually do well here, but I know that if I put this in front of my boss, I would have to convince him. But that was right up my alley, and I knew I'm going to pre-order this book. So, but that's, and then of course, you know, peer pressure. So
true. Kelso, what about you? Where do you find some of your books?
Other than the usual, I follow authors on social media accounts and through Goodreads, I do a lot of that. Through our reps, they always come in. Usually, like, I've been a bookseller long enough where people are like, hey, you're that lady who reads this. You're going to really like this. Or you like this author, try this author. So I get majority of that through my reps, and like, hey reps, thanks for listening, yay. Okay. So most of the time, my little secret that I like to use is I sign up for newsletters from printing and publishing agencies. So I have newsletters from the Big Five. The Big Five are Macmillan, Hachette, Simon & Schuster, HarperCollins, Penguin Random House. I subscribe to all of their newsletters. Usually they'll send stuff out saying like, hey, we're excited about these books, or here are five titles that you should read during a stressful time in your life, or things like that. We also have our online newsletters as well, Shelf Awareness. They have the thing for people who are open to the public and also people in book trading and book selling industries. They have newsletters for that. Publishers Weekly, which we get magazines for at work. I'll scan through those on a downtime. And other booksellers and other people from the publishing industry will write reviews in Publishers Weekly. Usually you'll hear like, that's got a 5-star review from this person or whatever on the covers of lots of their books. It's from Publishers Weekly, which is a trade magazine. Edelweiss, I get a lot of my stuff from Edelweiss, which is the same kind of idea as NetGalley. If anybody has heard of those two, you'll see it a lot on Goodreads. They'll say like, thank you for Simon & Schuster for sending me this through NetGalley or Edelweiss. We use a lot of that too. Also the tinier publishing houses, I just get emails all the time from them. Like, well, Poor is not a tiny publishing house, but it's an offset of a bigger publishing house. They do a lot of sci-fi and fantasy. Most of you might know about that. Tin House, which is a place out in Oregon. They're pretty popular now. $2 Radio, also out in Oregon. So small presses. I subscribe to their emails. So I read a lot of emails at work. So yeah. Oh, and the last thing I do is a lot of people ask me like, where do you get all of these LGBT authors that you're reading? And Lambda Literary is the premier place to, they've been around for 20 or 30 years. They give out awards every year. So right now I've been going through the list of previous award winners. That's a fountain of knowledge through all of LGBTQ plus authors and books about LGBTQ life, things like that. So Lambda Literary is a really good place to get all of your information for things like that. So I strongly suggest looking them up on social media, on their website. They just announced their Lambda Literary Awards for 2020, and I'm going through all of them right now. So it's a lot of fun. Keeps me busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so let's talk, bounce off a little bit of that. So like the reps that Kelso and I have mentioned, so that's all of the publishers have representatives that they will send out to bookstores. Sometimes they do phone meetings, but a lot of times they do send their reps right to the store, and they will sit down at the desk with our book buyers, and they'll go through a catalog of books, and they'll talk about all their favorite ones. If any of our listeners have ever been to one of our rep nights that we have, we try to host one a year. It's a lot like that. A rep comes in, they tell you all about all their favorite books. They tell us what they think is going to sell really well at our store based on, you know, other things similarly that have sold. And they usually come with a huge bag of advanced reader copies, which they hand out to the staff, which is great. And like Kelso said, they get to know the booksellers as well. So, you know, I've been in the business now, 8 years this fall. And so I will get mail from various publishers with, you know, a handwritten note that's like, hey, Ryan, I know you loved Welcome to Night Vale. So here's a book that's kind of like that. We hope you enjoy it. You know, I got one the other day that it's a really sweet little middle grade novel called The Candy Mafia. And they sent it in a package with a box of candy. I was like, yes, that's awesome. So the reps will bring things in person, or they will send things to us, and they always encourage us to email them directly if we hear about a book that we really want, because they can usually get us an advanced reader copy of that, or even an e-galley of that, so that we can read it on our computers or tablets or whatever. So they're an amazing resource. I love our reps. And then we also have things like the NEBA conference and Winter Institute and other cool conferences like that are kind of like book industry people only, which is very cool. I love an exclusive event. So this past year I got to go to both NEBA and Winter Institute, and holy moly, the amount of books I brought home. Like, it's insane. Because at those conferences, you're getting reps who are telling you all about their books and they're handing you ARCs. You're meeting authors who are there telling you about their upcoming books and they're signing ARCs for you. You're going to all these panels, which regardless of the topic, always ends up with at least one or two book recommendations in it, because we're all book people and we can't help ourselves. And they also have at these conferences what's called the galley room, where you literally go into this room and there's a ton of tables set up and it's just advanced reader copies as far as the eye can see, and they're free for the taking. And when I went to Winter Institute, because it was in Rhode Island, and so, you know, because I wasn't just driving home, they actually had boxes. You could fill your boxes and ship them back to your store or your home or wherever. And I think I shipped home like 6 boxes, maybe, full of advanced reader copies. They weren't all for me. I sent some for the staff too. But so that's a really kind of great resource for us, because we get to not only be talking to the reps again and making those personal connections, but also meeting the authors. And there's something really special about having an author tell you about their book. And I find that even if it's something that I wouldn't normally have picked up on the shelf, if I've met the author and they've told me about it and why they wrote it, and I am more likely to pick up that book and read it and love it. And like we talked about this last year on the podcast, but Kelso and I got to go to a private event down in Massachusetts where I think was that Avid Reader Press, right? Which was through Simon.
Yep.
Yeah. And we met, 5 or 6 authors and chatted with them all night over cocktails and appetizers. And they told us all about their books. And that's how we found out about books like The Need, which we both loved, and Ask Again Yes, and all these books that are now like bestsellers. And I'm just like, oh, we got to meet them. That was so cool. I've had that book for months. So booksellers get kind of a cool bonus exclusive, I don't know. It's almost like a VIP pass to books. We get them so far in advance. But then also, you know, I do have to shout out social media. Bookstagram has blown up in the last couple years. And so it's Instagram, but it's like a section of Instagram where readers and authors and reviewers and publishers just, you know, they take really fancy, cool photos of books and they review them and they tell people about them. And it is such a cool way to find out about books, because I find that when I'm scrolling through Instagram and I'm coming across different Bookstagram posts, you know, I'll stop on a post that I just think looks cool and I'll read about the book and I'll be like, oh, you know, that's not a book that's in a genre I would normally read, but this person really loved it. And so I'll add it to my Goodreads list and I'll be like, yeah, you know what? I think I am going to check that out. And then, you know, I read it and I love it. And then I'm hand selling it to our customers. So even though that's not, you know, an exclusive bookseller trade secret, it is, I feel like, one of those best kept secrets, because I feel like people, they kind of passively know that Bookstagram is a thing that happens, but I actually think it's a bigger resource than people give it credit for. And yeah, and Edelweiss is where our buyers actually kind of order the books the first time. They place the orders. That's where they submit the event grids and things like that. And so that's a great resource for us. We can request ARCs on there. We can request e-galleys and things like that. And then of course also Libra FM for booksellers is always giving us advanced listening copies. Mm-hmm. I was just looking through the March listening copies and there were so many books on there that I was like, oh, I wanted to read this. I'm so glad I have this now. They give us, I want to say, it's well over $1,000 worth of audiobooks every month for free for booksellers so that we can listen to these books before they come out and, you know, encourage our customers to purchase them as either audiobooks or physical copies. But yeah, so we have a pretty cool, gig. We get a lot of free books.
It's the best.
This is really best to the job. Publisher's benefit as well, because I know it sounds kind of like we're bragging, which, not going to lie, we kind of are. But it is to the publisher's benefit that we get these books so early, because if we don't have the books early, it's difficult for us to hand sell them. Because if someone walks in and they're just like, oh, I haven't heard about this book that came out this week, have you heard about it? If we haven't read it, we can't talk about it. So if they send us these books early, we can read them and then be like, yes, I have read this and I have read this. I'm really excited about it and here's why. And we can, you know, encourage pre-orders, which if you like an author, pre-ordering their book is one of the best things you can do for them, because it tells the publisher, hey, this title is something to watch. Maybe you should put a couple more marketing dollars to reach it out further. So us getting these books early and getting behind them early really actually really helps the publishers. So we're kind of like a line item in their budget.
Yeah.
In their marketing budget.
Cool. Does anyone have anything to add about that? No?
Nope.
Good.
We're good.
Awesome. Okay, so as we talked about earlier, we did have to cancel our events through the end of March and early April, but we are going to try to do some virtual events. We're going to experiment with a virtual book club. We're going to experiment with the virtual event for Amiris Capetta and Corey McCarthy. So just, again, just follow us on social media. We'll be updating everyone on there with any changes, any info that people need to know. Just make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, because that's where we're gonna tell you about everything. And sign up for our newsletter too, because Michael, I'm sure, will put out a big newsletter with all the necessary info. So obviously we want you to please continue to support us right now. So again, like, online orders are huge right now. Phone orders are awesome. But also, Libra FM is doing a promotion right now that if you sign up for a membership, and you use the code SHOPBOOKSTORESNOW, all one word, at checkout, they, not only will you get the two audiobooks for the price of one, but they are giving 100% of that payment to your local bookstore. So if you sign up under Gibson's Bookstore, 100% of that $15 goes to Gibson's. They are trying to raise $50,000 for indie bookstores. And as of recording this, they're at about $40,000. So they're doing really well. They're getting really close. So now is a really great time if you've been holding off, actually like biting the bullet and signing up for a membership for Libra FM. Now would be a really good time to do it. We would really appreciate it. and also gift cards to the bookstore are a really great way to support us and really to support any local business that you want to see survive this weird time of quarantine. If you purchase a gift card now, that is cash flow to the store now, and you can use it once everything is back to normal later. So consider doing gift cards, and please do just shop local whenever possible.
if you have a book that you were thinking about, if you would like to pre-order a book right now too, that would be great. If there's a book that you're looking forward to coming out in September or August and you knew you were going to buy it, if you pre-order it now, then you're still going to get that book. And we have the cash flow to keep us solvent in the moment. Gift cards are a great kind of interest-free small loan if you want, but those pre-orders, like, you, if you definitely know you were going to get that book, you can do that as well.
Yep.
There's some books that we're looking forward to in April. We can talk about those, but keep that in mind. Yeah. Do you want to mention the 99 problems, but shipping ain't one?
Like Elizabeth said, we got 99 problems, but shipping ain't one. We again are offering 99-cent shipping on any orders over $10.
To the continental U.S.
To the continental U.S., which I think all of our listeners are local-ish. So thank you guys so much for supporting us. We really appreciate this. These are totally unprecedented times, and we've been really blown away by the community support behind us and our fellow local businesses. It's been really encouraging to see. We've been in Concord over 120 years, and here's hoping we'll be here another 120. Fingers crossed, we need your help. Okay, we're going to wrap up. If nobody has anything else to add.
Toys. People can still buy toys and games.
Absolutely. And we are also looking, we're trying to figure out if we can video chat. If someone's like, hey, I want a puzzle, what do you have? We're trying to figure this out right now. If your kids are bored, my kids are bored, good Lord, please, like, send us toys. So like Kelso mentioned, if you need a science kit, if you need games, if you want homeschooling games, I played Enchanted Forest with my kids yesterday morning. Just if you need a puzzle, we got puzzles. I bought 2 1,000-piece puzzles because we're going to be here for a while. We're not leaving the house. We are currently doing curbside pickup. Mm-hmm. And if that goes away, if the situation expands, we are doing that shipping. So,
yep.
You need homeschooling supplies? I need homeschooling supplies. We got it.
We have lots of resources. We have lots of non-book items. And if you don't know what you want, you just want something, just give us a call. Our booksellers can help you out. We've had some people calling, being like, here's my price limit. Here's some things my kid likes. Here's a theme. Can you just fill a bag for me? Yeah, we can do that. If you want to say like, here's $100, just send me some books. Yeah, we can do that. Like this is what we do. You know, we recommend things. Whatever you want, we're here for you. I don't know. Shipping on games and toys might be a little different, but on books, it is 99 cents over $10. We thank you so much for continuing to support us. Okay, we're going to wrap up there. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com. And we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye.
Bye.